Hello and welcome to the Tea Room podcast. My name's Pete, I like pictures, and you can find mine, of course, on my blog tearoom.tumblr.com, tvoom.tumblr.com, and also on tearoom365.tumblr.com, tvoom365.tumblr.com. There's a couple of other types of photos on there. There's a law on the internet that says whenever you have something running on the web that goes beyond 5 episodes, you have to change something. And I made that up, of course, but nevertheless, I will change something, at least for this episode. Usually I started my podcast with a rant, but I won't do that this time. Not because I don't have anything to rant about. I have a lot of things to rant about. But simply because I want to talk about good photography habits. Good habits in photography. What they are or what I think they might be. That's what this episode is all about. I also will wrap up the last episode when I talked about RAW versus JPEG. I had a couple of very interesting comments on my blog. So we're going to talk about that. The music that is in the background that you hear is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech. The song is called Surf Shimmy and it is licensed under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. And just because I still have a bit of time until the music fades out, you can connect with me on Twitter. Of course, my Twitter handle is Vortex of Our Mind on Twitter. So hit me up there. Link is in the description. What are good photography habits? As I see it, everything that we do or can do that makes photography run a bit more smoothly, right? Makes it even more enjoyable, are good habits. Like, I will tell you a story, something that happened to me and that made me think a bit. One morning I woke up, looked out of the window, and there was fog everywhere. And I have that tree outside of my window, and it was covered in fog. And that alone is comparatively unusual for the place I live in. But there was also this weird light. Never seen anything like that before, and never after that. It had an almost outworldly feel to it. So I wanted to grab my camera and take a photo, but I didn't find my camera. And my apartment is not really that big, but I put my camera somewhere the evening before, and I just had to find it. So I had my camera, wanted to take a shot. Memory card was full. Darn. So what do we learn from that, or what I learned from that is that I don't succeed all of the time, but I try to put my camera on one place. So like here in my little home office, it's either on the couch. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't put your camera on a couch. Not a good idea, because people might sit on that camera. Or I put it on my desk. So it's always at least on one of these two places. The next thing, always have a memory card with sufficient space on in the camera. And so what I do usually when I come home and I had my camera with me and I took photos, the first thing, literally the first thing, even sometimes before I take my shoes off, is to I replace the batteries so that I have always charged batteries in my camera. Of course, I need replacement batteries, and I have at least one set of replacement batteries for every camera that needs batteries, of course, right? So taking the used batteries out of the camera, putting them in the charger, putting fresh batteries in the camera. Same goes for memory cards, and I will talk about memory cards. There are a couple of things to say about memory cards as well, but same goes for that. Taking the memory card out of the camera, either importing the photos to my computer in an instant, but putting a new empty or at least a memory card with enough or a sufficient space on it into the camera so that I have a camera that I can use, just grab it. and take a photo or two or five. And another thing, something that I made literally a habit, is to never switch my camera off. It is always on standby. One might say, yeah, but doesn't it eat battery? It does, but not so much. So it goes on standby after a minute or two, and it wakes up much faster than if I have to switch it on. And so, and I do that now for, or I've been doing that now for like 7 years since I started with DSLR photography, and doesn't matter. I never had any negative effects on that. And if we're talking about batteries, also one thing I have, because I have two DSLRs, my first one, the Canon T2i, the 550D, EOS 550D, and now for some years I have the 700D, the T5i, Rebel T5i. And for each of these, they use the same battery. So I have two sets of original batteries and two sets of third-party batteries. And I don't see a difference. For me, there's no difference. I still use the same batteries from the beginning, like 7-year-old batteries still work perfectly because I charge them immediately after I come home. So you don't need to. And that's one thing that I hear often, that people still tell me that it's not a thing anymore, not with lithium ion batteries. I wanted to say akku because it's German. With lithium ion batteries, you don't need to use them up completely. There's no so-called memory effect. It's even bad for these type of batteries to use them up completely. So I charge them whenever I come home. Another good habit is about memory cards. Here's the thing. Some people delete photos on their memory card. Don't do that. Don't delete photos on your memory card. Not with a camera, not with a computer. Don't delete photos on your memory card. Same goes some people when importing photos. They don't copy the photos to their drives, but move them. Because they say, well, if I move them, right, I have them on my computer and they're gone from the memory card and the memory card is empty so I can use it again. Just don't do that. Why? Because it will decrease the lifespan of your memory cards. Deleting photos, mean, let's say you have 500 photos or 100 photos on your memory card and you delete them. What does that mean? It means you have a read and write access to your card. So the camera overwrites, well, not the whole photo, but the index on, it's kind of, like in a book, an index that says, okay, on this part of the memory card, there's that photo. And if you delete the index, the card doesn't know that there's, or the camera doesn't know that there's a photo in that, on that special place on the card. So that place can be used for another photo. So deleting per se is not really bad because you don't really overwrite something, just the index. The thing is, though, if you delete 100 photos, you have 100 write accesses to the card. Not a good thing. So better format the card and format it in the camera, not the computer. Because with formatting a card, well, there are two types of format. There's a fast format, usually what the camera does. And I will talk about why not doing it with a computer in a minute. If you format the card, fast format the card, what the camera does is to simply overwrite the whole index. So the photos are still there, but the camera doesn't know that they're there, or the card doesn't know that they're there and the space is available. Good thing. One write access to the card. If you low-level format your card, and that's what some cameras can do, what the camera does is literally overwrite all the information on the card. And I was surprised to learn that they actually do that. And it's almost as fast as fast format. But, well, you overwrite all the information on your card, and so you have a lot of writing access to the card, which, of course, will wear out your card. So if you use your cards for yourself, just use fast format, pretty quick, one write access will increase the lifespan of your memory card. If you give your card away, someone borrows a card or something, and you don't want them to be able to recover the photos, right? Because you have some candid shots on there or whatever. You don't want them to have access to your family photos. Then low level format the card in your camera. Pretty simple. Don't do that with your computer. It shouldn't make a difference. Because format is format, right? It does, though. I had that experience myself. I tried it a couple of times. And I had almost every time when I formatted the card in my computer, I had some weird issues with the card. So since I format the card only in my camera, no problems at all. Another good habit, if you use tripods or a tripod, I have three tripods. Three big ones, and two of them I use for photography, is there's usually this adapter plate, the connector that you use to connect your camera with your tripod. And my adapter plate, Quick Release adapter plate, is very small, so I can still change the batteries even with that thing connected. So I have it always on my camera. So I can just click it on the tripod, set the tripod up, click the camera on there. It fits, so I don't have to fumble around. And I also always know where that adapter plate is, because sometimes when I just use it, put it somewhere, and then I found you wouldn't believe where I found that adapter plate after I looked for it, like in dirty laundry and in the pocket of my trousers, something like that. So I have it on my camera all of the time, no problem at all, because I know where it is. Once more about memory cards, it's also a thing that I only delete or format the cards when they're full. Because, well, I work with Lightroom, so when importing photos in Lightroom to my computer, I can check that little checkbox that says something to the effect, don't import duplicates. So every photo that is already in the library will not be imported again, so I'm safe here. Another thing that is a pretty good habit when importing the photos, also something that you can do with Lightroom, probably possible with other software as well, I import the photos to OneDrive, and at the same time I can put a second destination in the import dialog. So I import the photos to my drive, and at the same time, I import them to my backup drive, which is a pretty cool thing. And then I can back up the whole backup drive once more. I should probably make an episode about backing photos up, because thank goodness I didn't lose at least not too many photos with failed drives. But it can happen. Drives can fail. Drives will fail. Inevitably, your drives will fail at one point in time. So you better have a backup, and you better have a backup of a backup. So these are a couple of things that I think are good photography habits. If you have more of them, then please share them. Send me a message either on my blog tvoom.tumblr.com or connect with me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Vortex of Our Mind. Again, all the links in the description of this episode. And now let's wrap up the last episode. I had a couple of very interesting comments and a couple of very, very interesting messages. So here is the wrap-up. You can check these comments, of course, on the post that I made on my blog. The link is, of course, also in the description. My friend Kleeman Lee wrote, "I only shoot raw. The reason is I'm not a good enough photographer." I'm sorry that I'm laughing. I will talk about that in a minute. "I'm not a good enough photographer that I can trust myself to get it right. If I only use JPEG, recording in JPEG and RAW uses too much storage space, so ... I agree with one thing, Kleeman, and that is that, yes, shooting RAW and JPEG uses up more storage space, but I do not agree at all with your notion that you're not a good enough photographer. Check out Kleeman's blog, kleemanlee.tumblr.com. He's an amazing wildlife photographer, bird photographer. So no, trust yourself, Kleeman. But I get it. So if I want, that's what I do as well. If I want to really squeeze the last bit out of a photo. It doesn't really make sense for me to shoot JPEG, but only RAW. Point and shooter David wrote, I almost always shoot JPEGs because I hate editing. If I do shoot RAW, it's always RAW plus JPEG. And that is what I meant in the last episode, right? If you get what you want with your camera, with JPEG only, so why would you even want to shoot RAW? If you don't want to put time and effort into editing your shots, like as I said, I think I mentioned it in the last episode, since I have my 24 millimeter camera lens, wonderful little thing, I get this special feel with my photos that I don't even want to change, right? So there are moments or days when I just want to shoot with that camera and take it as the photos come. Other photos, I know that I cannot do what I want to show with a camera alone, so I have to edit. And I do enjoy editing, other than you, Damon. But then I shoot RAW. Same thing. In Your Eyes 69 wrote, on my DSLR, I always shoot RAW and JPEG. And then I have had a very, very interesting comment by Joey of Last Lights Net. He wrote that when he always shoots RAW, but he was thinking about trying RAW and JPEG because the photos, the RAWs, on turn out to be darker on his monitor at home than they seem to be on the display. And here's the thing, and that can have a couple of reasons. Probably it's a combination. Because first things first, don't trust your display. Never trust your display. Because you can change the brightness on your display. I learned that the hard way. I put my I was outside and I increased the brightness of my display, and then I went inside, forgot to decrease the brightness again, and so I trusted the display on the camera, right? And the photos turned out way too dark. Some of them even too dark to be usable. So never trust your display. That's one thing. Another thing can be because, well, RAW is RAW. What you see on your camera's display is just a JPEG representation. It's a processed version of that RAW with the camera settings. The camera settings other than aperture, exposure, time, and ISO, of course. So whenever you import your photos, what your RAW files, what your software does is to process them in a different way. So you might want to check your software, what the software does, and you can, it's an easy way. So look at the photo on your display and try to mimic that look on your computer screen with the software, and then save that as a preset and apply that preset during import. Even I did that. I do that quite a lot with my photos. Another thing can be that your monitor is simply not calibrated, so you might want to calibrate your monitor. And there might also be a gamma issue, but that's a bit too much to get into that in this episode, because gamma, the gamma curve in your display might be a different one than on your computer. Or on your computer monitor, you can sometimes change the gamma curve in your monitor. That's a bit of a very geeky issue. I might make an episode about that issue one day, maybe with color spaces, something like that. Another thing, my good friend Christian CA-Berlin wrote that what I said in the last episode was wrong in terms of that. Because I said that with RAW files, the white balance is not assigned to the RAW file, and that this is wrong. And you are right, Christian, that is wrong. If I said it like that, that is definitely wrong, because the white balance setting of the camera is saved to the RAW file, and the software that you import your photos into reads that information and interprets that, and then reassigns that white balance. So yes, you're right to have pointed that out. It is assigned in terms of that it is saved. It's not really baked in the photo, so you can change that. And that is what I meant. I probably worded that wrong in the last episode. So yes, the information is saved into the file, but it's not really baked into the file, so you can change that. Another thing that Christian did was to give me a lot of pointers regarding the sound quality of the last episode, because yes, the last episode sounded a bit off to me. I didn't really know why, and he gave me a couple of very, very good pointers how to change that. So this one's for the sixth episode of the T-Boom podcast. My name's still Pete. I still like pictures. And you can still find them on my blog, tboom.tumblr.com, tboom.tumblr.com. And also, of course, on tboom365.tumblr.com. And you can find me on YouTube, of course. Everyone has a YouTube, right? youtube.com/C/channel/TBoom Photography. I think it also works if you just type in youtube.com/TBoom Photography. You could try that. And don't forget to subscribe, right? And yes, if you have questions, suggestions, ideas, if you have comments, please don't hesitate to send them to either my blog, TBoom. If you're on Tumblr, you can send me an ask or message with the Tumblr messenger. Or if you're not on Tumblr, if you're not registered to Tumblr, you can still do that. You just have to use the anonymous function. So there's that. I'm kind of happy with that 20 minutes format. Now I think I can do more more free. I can do this podcast, but more frequently with 20 minutes. And I also have changed my workflow a bit, so everything runs a bit more smoothly. Funny thing that I got a message saying, one message, everyone said 20 minutes is good. And that was one person who said, well, that's 30. I like 30 minutes better, but it was rather because of my voice, which I found pretty intriguing. So if it's just about the voice for you, I have something for you, because I will probably starting soon. Be starting a story podcast with stories that I wrote in the last years. So stay tuned. Has nothing to do with photography. Bye bye. Till next time.